Welcome to Traverse Legal Radio, the Tech Lawyer Podcast, a show dedicated to helping entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders navigate legal issues, grow revenue, and increase their valuation. This podcast is sponsored by the IP and litigation attorneys at Traverse Legal PLC. Visit traverselegal.com to learn how Traverse Legal's attorneys are changing the way law is practiced. Now, here's your host, trial attorney Enrico Schaefer.
Today on Tech Law Radio, we've got someone who is near and dear to my heart, and it is Charlie Clark. Charlie is a law student at Michigan State School of Law. He is a virtual law clerk for Traverse Legal, and he's done some really interesting work for us and research for us as we continue to help social media influencer understand their business model, understand their rights, understand how to license their copyright-protected work, how to license their name and likeness, and their publicity rights. And as we've been diving into this issue, we had Charlie do some research on what I think is a very common problem in the social media influencer game. And that problem is that you've got these social media influencers who make their entire living off of their Instagram photographs. And then they will get sometimes paid to do a post for that photograph, and then sometimes they will license to the brand the ability to reuse that post on their website or in some other advertising. And yet the brand, the company, is paying for a license to be able to reuse that post. What about all of these blogs and all of these YouTube channels and all of these pseudo media outlets that are using the same Instagram photos without permission, without license, without compensation to the copyright owner, who is hopefully the influencer if they've designed their contract or agreement correctly with their photographer so that the copyrights are assigned to the influencer where they belong. So the influencer owns the copyright in these photographs, and yet you see them used all over the place and without permission. And of course, these kind of blogs and these websites, they want to stand behind the fair use defense and say, well, we're reporting on this Instagrammer, so we get to just use their photographs and their Instagram posts, photographs of their Instagram posts, without permission, without license, without compensation, because we're going to now comment on that post. I think a lot of people, Charlie, are going to be surprised to find that you can't just use an influencer's post on Instagram, for instance, without permission, without license, without compensation, even if you're a TMZ-style website or you've got a YouTube channel where you're commenting on the influencer space. It's not a free-for-all, that there are real ramifications for using these Instagram photographs without permission from the copyright owner, without permission from the influencer. And that if you happen to be one of these media players, if you're running a YouTube channel that's doing hundreds of thousands of views a week and you're doing a bunch of stories on influencers and you're showing those Instagram photos, you could get sued for copyright infringement. And Charlie, I mean, the research is pretty clear. There's some emerging case law, and of course, the pre-existing analysis under copyright law all supports the fact that an influencer can have a viable cause of action for copyright infringement, not to mention name and likeness use that's not authorized, if some of these third-party websites, YouTube channels, etc., use the photographs of the influencer without license or permission. Tell us a little bit about what your research found.
Right. So first of all, thanks for having me, Enrico. It's a pleasure to be here. But on that point, there's a lot of those pseudo news outlets that are trying to hide behind the fair use doctrine under copyright law. Essentially, to qualify for fair use, you have to use the work for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, education, scholarship, or research. What a lot of people don't know is that those are just prerequisites in order to get yourself into the analysis. And there's much more that needs to be considered to determine if that use is actually fair use under the Copyright Act. There's four factors that you need to go through in your analysis to determine if it is fair use. Those include the purpose and character of the second use, including whether it's for a commercial nature, the nature of the copyrighted work with respect to whether it's published or whether it is highly creative, the amount and substantiality and portion used in relation to the copyrighted work as a whole, and the most important factor is the effect on the potential market for the value of the copyrighted work or its derivatives. What we've kind of seen in the case law is that there's definitely going to be a factual analysis on a case-to-case basis. All the factors are going to be explored and weighed together in light of the purposes of the copyright. We're not going to automatically grant deference to a pseudo-news outlet because they're supposedly commenting on the purported work.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, Charlie, because you got all these consumers and all these third-party websites and YouTube channels, et cetera. They just assume that content posted on the internet is inherently free and you can do whatever you want with it. And it's just not the case. This kind of perceived free culture is at material conflict with the creator, with the copyright owner's interest in maintaining control over the reproduction and distribution of their copyright-protected work. So you've got this tension between the copyright owner's, you know, rights in the works and their need to control what happens with their works online and offline, and, of course, this kind of media frenzy to be able to report on really clickbait-type items, which often are influencer stories, right? So, but the message here is clear: is just because you're doing reporting on influencer does not mean that you will escape a copyright infringement lawsuit and potentially lose that copyright infringement lawsuit if you start using Instagram photographs of influencers without permission or likeness, that you use their name and likeness without proper permission in some cases, although the copyright is going to be a broader level of protection for the influencer than name and likeness if there is some news and commentary going on with regards to that person. So let's kind of break this down a little bit. You've got this kind of free-for-all going on in social media where you've got every top influencer out there that they have baked into their business model a lot of followers and a lot of clicks. And what that means is not only do they get to monetize that, but you've got all these piranhas who are trying to monetize them because of their popularity. And so to have a media outlet or a pseudo media outlet that is using the celebrity in order to drive their own traffic, right, creates this kind of issue of, is this really fair use reporting and news and commentary? Isn't it just that these websites are trying to drive clickbait traffic so they can increase their advertising revenue? Now, no one's really gotten too far into that in the case law yet, but to me, Charlie, it seems like a loser for the website, for the person who should be licensing the copyright, because if you ever got into discovery, it's going to be clear that, yeah, they may be using commentary and pretending that news is a factor here, but their emails, their business model, everything that's going on the SEO side of their business is going to establish that, in fact, they're just trying to use someone's copyright-protected work so that they can make money. Isn't that really going to be the problem for the pseudo-media?
You pretty much hit the nail on the head there. Courts are very concerned about, you know, whether they're actually transforming the purpose, character, message, and meaning of the work and making something new, or if they're just using the copyright to gain in their own commercial purposes. And that's kind of where the first factor comes into play. A lot of cases lose on that factor alone due to the fact that the outlet is just using the copyrighted material for their own gain without ever changing anything or doing anything different, or even reporting on any real news that's not subject to protection from the copyright holder.
And we do a lot of free speech law too, so we get it, right? And we understand the
Right.
importance. But look at, you know, it, to have a news outlet that's a legitimate news outlet that does legitimate reporting day in and day out, use an Instagram photo for to comment on that photo, you know, that may still end up being copyright infringement, and a jury could still hold against that news outlet. And they've got a lot more evidence that they're, you know, they're all their people went to school, they're publishers, they're you know, they these folks have been trained in journalism, they have all kinds of other stories going on, and they're going to have a lot of evidence to at least you know, throw up there in terms of fair use. Most of the uses that we're seeing from celebrities and social media influencers online, where they're reproducing the photographs or the Instagram posts for their own website purposes, there's just no question what's going on there. They're just trying to drive traffic, and they're not going to have that same level of protection as even a CNN or a Fox News, which then brings us to the next thing I want to talk about is there actually was a case against Fox News as a result of the use of a photograph that was reposted on a Fox News Facebook page. Tell us about that.
Right, you're referring to the Fox News versus Pirro case, correct? With the Fox News reporter using a copyrighted photograph from 9/11.
Exactly. So here you
Yeah.
have a legitimate media outlet that has used someone's photograph and put it on their Facebook page, actually added to that photograph, i.e., potential transformative use, you know, as part of the fair use defense, and yet they filed a motion to dismiss, and Fox News lost that lawsuit. And tell us a little bit about what the facts were there.
Right. So essentially, what happened was a Fox News reporter used this copyrighted photograph that a photographer had taken during the commotion in 9/11 of firefighters raising a flag right near Ground Zero. They juxtaposed that photograph with the very, very popular, well-known photograph from the soldiers raising the flag in Iwo Jima during World War II. And on the anniversary of 9/11, they posted the juxtaposition photograph with a caption hashtag never forget on a Fox News Facebook page. They kind of made the argument that they made this dissemination in a transformative way, and that it signals Fox News is participating in the ongoing global discussion concerning 9/11. But the court ultimately rejected this argument, and they found that even the slight alterations and additions to the original photograph actually only minimally altered the content, message, and meaning, and it did not begin to constitute the creation of a new aesthetic, new information, new insights, or understanding that's required for a finding of transformative purpose.
Yeah, so essentially Fox News remained at risk for copyright infringement, and I don't remember from that case whether the photograph was a registered copyright, but what social media influencers need to know is this. Number one, your most popular photographs or your Instagram feed, you need to find a way to register those with the Copyright Office, because when you register your copyrights, not only are you entitled to a reasonable royalty from unauthorized infringing third-party use, including from potential media outlets, right? But if you're a registered copyright holder, you get to wield statutory damages of, you know, of a range up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or more for unlawful use. So not only can you say, hey, you owe me a reasonable royalty as a minimum, which might be thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, but now you potentially owe me statutory damages, plus potentially you have to pay my attorney's fees if you do not resolve this lawsuit or this threat letter that's been sent for copyright infringement by the social media influencer or typically the social media influencer's attorney. So, message to all of you influencers out there, work with a copyright registration attorney, a copyright infringement attorney, to be able to make sure that your Instagram photographs are protected by registration and not just through common law rights. It's going to give you really good leverage to protect your copyright. The risk that Fox took, of course, I think that case ultimately settled, but the risk that Fox took would have been for statutory damages of six figures or more for an unauthorized use if they had not resolved the matter. So the first element that you noted was what is the character of work? What is the manner in which the alleged infringing party has used the work? Let's take that. We know what happened to Fox News. They used it to comment. They used it as a newsworthy item, and yet the possibility of copyright infringement still existed. What does that mean for these kind of bloggers or YouTube channels that want to use these Instagram photos of celebrities and influencers without permission or license? Because they're kind of in the same boat as Fox, and maybe not even, in as good of a boat. Their boat may be leaking water a lot more than Fox's, given the fact that they are really driven purely by traffic.
Yeah, so the way that those YouTube channels all work is they operate on ad revenues. When they post a video and they have an X amount of subscribers, they can get, X amount of money from ad revenues via YouTube. That makes their work of a commercial nature, which is one of the main points in the first factor of the test. If you're making money in any capacity off of use of unauthorized use of a copyrighted work, then you're at risk to lose that first factor of the test on that alone. Mix that with the fact that you didn't actually transform the message, meaning, or content of the copyrighted work, and you're in deep water pretty quickly there with the YouTube channels.
Yeah, and there's the Elvis Presley Enterprises versus Passport video case where you've got again an entertainment company that uses a bunch of footage of Elvis Presley in order to tell the story of Elvis, right? And they provide voiceovers on top of the photographs, just like these YouTube channels do, right? And yet the
Exactly.
court found that just adding a voiceover or adding some commentary does not transform, is not transformative of the original work. And that these, in this particular instance, the defendant in that case remain potentially liable for copyright infringement. That you have to, if your purpose of your YouTube channel or your blog is commercial, you better go get permission or a license or pay for a license to use those Instagram photos, or you are at serious risk. Let's talk about the second factor a little bit here, Charlie, so that people can kind of run through the analysis. The second factor is like, what is the nature of the work itself? And the things that the court will look at are, is this just some random thing, a random photograph that gets posted to Instagram, or is there an element of creativity to the work that gives it broader protection? Talk a little bit about that factor.
Right. So in the second factor, courts usually note that there are works that are closer to the core of the intended copyright protection, and they align highly creative works with closer to that core of the protection. Rather, you can think about like a factual work, a factual-based paper, versus a photograph that an Instagram social media influencer would typically post. They are often hiring professional photographers even to work with them to get a great aesthetic, good lighting. They're adding the filters, editing their photos. It's probably going to be undisputed that Instagram photo from a social media influencer is going to be considered a highly creative work. It's going to be closer to that core of copyright protection intentions, and it's going to be subject to a high copyright protection under the second factor, as opposed to, an academic paper or something more factually founded rather than creative.
And if you take a look at it, Charlie, like, so if I were to post on Instagram as I sometimes do, but I don't have any commercial aspect to what I'm doing on Instagram, and I might do a lot of random stuff that I don't put a whole lot of thought into, et cetera, I might still have copyright protection there, but it's going to be a much lower level of protection than an Instagram influencer or celebrity that is very selective, highly involved in the editing and photography process, that's very, very, very careful about what they're putting online, how they're putting it online, which photographs they're using, which filters they're using, how those photos have been edited. The more effort and time you put into those types of factors, the more protection you're going to get just looking at what the copyright owner does with relation to the work.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a higher degree of deference to professional photographers, people who are using the photographs for, you know, commercial means rather than just point and shoot pictures. However, even in a case where it was, I think it was Mong v. Maya magazines, they found that a photo that was just kind of a point and shoot photo of a wedding was generally viewed as a creative aesthetic expression of a scene or image. And it has been subject to that high degree of protection from copyrights. But you're going to have a better case in the case of a social media influencer for sure in the creative aspect of your work.
Yeah, so if you happen to be on the media side or the pseudo media side of the equation, you need to be aware that there have been courts that have found that really casual photographs that don't appear to have much thought put into them also receive copyright protection. And so you can imagine if a kind of a random photo at a wedding that's taken in the spur of the moment can get copyright protection and require a license, then certainly influencers who are very meticulous about what they're doing and how they're doing it, you know, good luck defending yourself from a copyright infringement case against an influencer if you're not getting an appropriate license to use that photograph. Now, you know, that takes us into this kind of third factor, which is the amount and substantiality of the work taken in relation to the whole and the purpose of copying. So this question of the value of the materials, how, you know, in relation to the purpose of the copying, how does that factor work and how would it be interpreted in the influencer pseudo media environment?
Right. So just based upon the language within the factor, you can kind of assume that, you know, when you're taking an entire photograph from social media influencers' Instagram page, it's going to be substantial in that you're taking the totality of their work. Social media influencers are going to have a very big edge in this factor. And then, you know, all these factors kind of bleed together in combination with the fact that they're taking it for a commercial purpose. It's going to favor the social media influencers in this factor as well.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you could scale up from a photograph into musical compositions or literary works where in fact there's more substance, there's more breadth to the substance of the copyrighted work, which may increase the level of protection, especially when someone's using a big chunk of it. But the reality remains in the context of social media, if you use the entirety of someone's social media post, their photograph, the words, the text, you know, that's the point. That's how social media influencers make their money is by posting. And sometimes, yes, they're just endorsing someone else's product on their post. But if the social media influencer has the right contract in place, that social media influencer contract also talks about what can the brand do? Can they share that Instagram post? Can they take an image of that Instagram post and use it in some other context on their social media platform? You know, these are things that the social media influencer gets to control. And through their influencer contract, they can say yes or no at every point along the way. Can the brand use that photograph on their website? Again, yes or no. Social media influencer that owns the copyright, that has the rights in that, gets to decide. And the beautiful thing about copyright law for social media influencers is that you can scale up and down on price depending on how much gets used. So if someone just wants a post and it's going to live only within your platform, right? Then that could be a lower cost than, oh, and we want to put your post on our platform, or we want to put your post a screen capture on our website. Like, those are additional license rights that would be required in the contract that should drive up the cost. So it allows the social media influencer to say, well, okay, your budget is X brand. You're speaking to the brand. Your budget is X, so I can do this for you for X, but you only get a license to this point. If you want more rights, if you decide you want to put my social media post photograph on your website, come back and we can license that as well. So, they're losing, the social media influencer is losing all the value of what they've done if they're not protecting the rights against all these media players who are just simply using their work to drive traffic to their websites. One of the fair use arguments we hear all the time is, well, I'm commenting on that photograph, so I have to put the photograph in there in order to comment on it. And it's an easy thing to say, it's a hard thing to prove. Do you really need that photograph? Because if you're going to do a story about the social media influencer doing influencing, then you don't need photographs to do that. You could just write the story. If you're going to talk about a specific photograph, then the question is going to be, well, if your purpose is commercial and you're really just driving traffic, then you're not going to get very far on a fair use defense saying, well, I was commenting on the photo, so I had to put the photo in the story in order to comment on the photo. In most instances, the evidence is going to be that that's relatively contrived. That the real purpose is to use the photograph so they can drive traffic, and that the commentary on the photo is just there as an SEO tool, not as really fair commentary. So this third factor is again going to weigh in favor of social media influencers and celebrities in many instances. This brings us to the fourth factor. Let's talk about the fourth factor. The fourth factor is the effect upon the potential market for or the value of the copyright protected work, and is a very important factor. So let's break that down. The effect of the use of the work on the potential market. So this is really speaking from the influencer's point of view. If the copyright isn't protected, if the influencer does not control the use of that photograph, or some third party comes in and starts using their Instagram photograph without permission or license, think about the impact that is going to have on their ability to monetize those photographs. Tell us how this factor works, Charlie.
Right. So in this factor of the test, you're looking at the value of the license. If you're going to have a media outlet take your photographs and use them to tell a story about you, that's kind of diluting the value of the licensing rights that you have with legitimate companies that would like to otherwise license your photograph, because why would they if they could just use it for free under this fair use like curtain of a defense? So if you're not protecting your rights, you're actually losing a lot of monetary value that go along with your copyright.
And we understand that a lot of social media influencers and celebrities really don't understand the nuances of all of this, and so they don't sometimes protect their copyright as well as they should. In fact, in most instances, they don't. But in a lot of cases, they just don't know that they can. And think about it, if you're a social media influencer, think about it this way. You are requiring the brand that you are endorsing to pay you money to use that Instagram post. And yet you're going to allow a pseudo media or blogger or YouTube channel to use that same post for free? Think about the impact on value in just on that one example. Your value of your post goes down. The ability of you to convince someone else to pay for the use of that photograph goes down dramatically if everyone else gets to use it for free. So, I think this is something that social media influencers will continue to learn about and understand at a higher level as they continue along with their business model, and as they learn about copyright, which is the essence of what their business is all about, right, is these photographs and the copyright protection that they and ownership that they have of the photographs, and the importance of, as you mentioned, actually protecting their photographs from infringement. If you don't protect your photographs from infringement, then it makes it much more harder to enforce down the line. And so it's important for social media influencers to really understand copyright law. It'd be like a neurosurgeon not understanding how to use a scalpel. It's the core of your business model. Yes, your name and likeness. Yes, your publicity rights, but also your copyright protected photographs and works. And I'll just throw in here, as a bonus to all the social media influencers out there, if you're having a photographer or a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend take the photograph, whoever's holding the camera owns the copyright protected works, unless there's an agreement that those works are going to be owned by the influencer or celebrity. In most cases, if the influencer or celebrity has got someone following them around taking photographs, they've also got a work-for-hire agreement with that photographer, which assigns all of the copyright to the influencer so that the influencer can claim copyright ownership for DMCA takedowns and whatever. So that's really important. Make sure you have those copyright assignment documents in place so that when it comes time to enforce the copyright in those photographs, the influencer is the person in control. They can legitimately say, I am the copyright owner. Now, next time on the next show, we'll talk a little bit about DMCA takedown notices. And those, are, of course, are the other half of the trademark or copyright infringement threat letter program, right? Where instead of the attorney sending a threat letter to the pseudo media player, to the YouTube channel, to the blogger, they simply file a DMCA with the web hosting company or the social media platform saying, I own copyright, and then your post, your YouTube, comes down. The provider, YouTube, what have you, has an obligation to remove that from the internet. You can counter respond to that notice and maybe get it back up, but at the end of the day, your risk is that all this work you put into that content gets removed. All the traffic that you are hoping for that content cannot exist because the copyright owner is able to have that removed from the internet. So, and then in one of the next programs, we'll put DMCA on the table and educate our social media influencer friends and clients about the DMCA takedown notice that they have in their arsenal of copyright protection. Charlie, thank you for being on the show today. Really appreciate it. We love our law student listeners. We'll get you back on the show soon. Okay, Charlie?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, everybody. So that's it for today. Again, to our clients, to our prospective clients, to all the social media influencers out there, to the law professors, to the law students, thank you very much for listening to the Tech Law Podcast. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Tech Lawyer Podcast, sponsored by Traverse Legal PLC, a law firm representing clients like you on matters just like yours. You can find the Tech Lawyer Podcast on most podcast listening platforms, including your home devices. Until next time, remember that good attorneys win for their clients. Great attorneys tell you up front how they're going to do it and how much it will cost.